I'd like to do is start in this interview today, really cover the years up to when you went to work at Lockheed, and beginning with your own family history, beginning perhaps with your grandparents and where they were from.
Well, let's see. I came from Iowa. My grandparents had, some of them had come from Ohio and some from Pennsylvania, because my mother's name was Oxenrider, O-X-E-N-R-E-I-D-E-R. So my grandfather had come from Pennsylvania, and we're told that my great-grandfather came out to Iowa to get land for his children. I think there were 12 of them. They weren't all boys, but most of them were. And he had been fairly well-to-do back there, because at this time, when so many people were traveling in just covered wagons, we're told that great-grandmother Oxenrider was able to ride out in a buggy. So we know that, you know, that he wasn't just plain poor. But unfortunately, he settled where the land wasn't as good as it could have been. I don't know why he settled there. I've often wondered. But anyway, he settled in Warren County, Iowa. And that is not the most fertile part of Iowa. Then my grandmother, on my mother's side, came from Ohio. And she had been an orphan, but she wasn't raised by other people. She lived with, alternated between two married sisters, I think, who were older. She was younger, and she had come out. And because my grandfather was lame, he could not go into the army during the Civil War. But my grandmother tells about the hard times they had then, how it was hard to get cloth to make clothes and all that. Now, on my father's side, I know my, my grandfather, Campbell, was in the Civil War. He was with Sherman on his march to the sea. And we used to ask him, as children, we wanted to hear about the war. And all he would tell us was that he was 16 and he lied to get in. But after he'd been in a few weeks, he would have told a bigger lie to cut out. And and my grandmother lived around Eddyville, Iowa, where we later lived, although there was no connection in that. But that's about as much as I don't know about the earlier ones on the Camel side. And I was born on a farm.
When did they come to the United States? It sounds like they date back fairly far.
Yes. We've never, well, the Oxenriders came during that time when all the Pennsylvania Dutch people came. Mm-hmm. I've forgotten what that was, the early 1800s, sometime. And we know that that's when they came, but I think all the others had been here quite a while. So I was the fifth in a family of six, the first girl, so I had four older brothers. That may have had something to do with my early life, because while many farm girls at that time were doing work in the field, I never, and milking cows, I never had to do anything like that. My mother said that with four brothers around, they could do that. She needed me to help in the house. And
tell me a little bit more about your own parents. So they were both born in Iowa then.
Yes. Well, now my father was born in Nebraska, but he moved to his parents moved back to Iowa when he was so young, I think less than a year old.
And were they both brought up on farms then?
Yes. Yes, they had both, they were both products of a
farm. Can you tell me a little bit more about their earlier life before they were married individually and then how
they lived in the same community, so it wasn't unusual that they met, because now I know my mother had a couple of cousins that were married to a couple of my father's cousins. I mean, it was all kind of a small community. However, to tell you a little bit about my mother, even at a time when school teachers were not so common, my mother was a school teacher. And here's another thing that you might think is unusual, because there was that period during the Depression when they thought that married teachers shouldn't teach, but my mother even taught after my older brother was born, partly because it was difficult to get teachers. And at that time, for a short time, they were living with her parents. And of course, there were no other children at home. See, my mother had only one brother, no sisters. And to think, after being raised with only one brother, to have six children. But my mother was wanted all of us to get an education at a time.
Back up a little bit in terms of your parents' background. When were they born? Do you know?
My mother was born in 1877, because she came almost being a centennial. She always was sorry she hadn't been born in 1876, so she could have been a centennial. She was born in January. And my father was 3 years older.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see, he was born in 1874, I guess.
And did they, what sort of educational background did each of them have?
My mother had finished high school and gone to normal school. My father was the oldest of nine children, and he always said he hadn't gone any further than the fourth grade, but he used pretty good grammar for all of that, as good as I hear some people have gone through high school. He could certainly figure. Our family read a lot of, we took a lot of newspapers. The mail carrier on our mail route said, "We got more papers than anybody else on the route." And my mother took lots of magazines. And at that time, there was a children's magazine called The Youth's Companion. And she thought it was good for us to have that. So we had that to read as we grew up. My mother wanted us to all get, she thought education was very important. And at that time, there were a lot of young people around in our community with the girls. They thought it wasn't important for a girl to go to high school, mm-hmm. They went to eighth grade. That was enough. I don't know too much about my parents' early life because, I guess by the time, they had been married quite a while. My mother was 35 when I was born.
Now, she then stopped teaching at what point?
I think she taught for about 1 year after my oldest brother was born. I know she did teach even when he was little. Because, now this is something that will slay you, they were living across the road from the schoolhouse. And she used to go home at recess and lunchtime to nurse him. Can you imagine that? But the school board seemed perfectly satisfied with her. They said, everything I ever heard, even from old cousins or aunts, that she was supposed to be a good teacher.
Now, was this a one-room country school?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
And it was across of the farm.
Across the road from the farmstead where they lived.
What can you describe the farmstead? Did they move there after marriage?
I think yes, since I think they were in some kind of, this was a bigger farm because my father, and of course it'd be his father-in-law, were wanted to do some additional farming because, I know that when they were first married, they lived with my mother's parents.
Do you know how large the farm was?
Oh, no, but it probably was, they were always talking about 160-acre mm-hmm. farms, so it must have been at least that
mm-hmm.
much. I'm sure it was at least that much. Whether it was bigger, I don't know. Now, the farm where I lived from the time I was 2 years old, that was 366 acres. That was a bigger farm.
But this farm, in other words, this was your grandfather's farm, and your father and mother lived with them, and your father worked on the farm with
for about 2 years, I think.
And your mother did not, in other words, not work on the farm, but instead taught.
She taught school across the road. She used to tell about, because she said she went home at recess and at noon to nurse the baby, and that was my oldest brother.
Was there any community reaction or reaction within her family?
I never heard. As a child, we didn't live close to the relatives, but any of them that I ever heard speak about it, even her mother-in-law, everybody always said she was a good teacher, she kept good order, and the children learned.
It sounds like you actually knew your grandparents and heard Civil War stories from your grandfather.
Well, not very much, because he wouldn't tell us very much. No, most, but I was interested and have read history about mm-hmm. No, he would not. He was with Sherman on his march to the sea. And I know when they, as a child, too, I can remember going to these little county fairs they had back in Iowa. You can't imagine what they're like, probably. But they used to have Old Soldiers' Day, and that was the day that the old soldiers, the Civil War veterans, got in free, and they'd, I was just little. My parents would go to visit my grandparents, and they would take my sister and I with us, because we were too young to be left at home, but they didn't take my brothers. They were older, and they could be left there. And the band would play these songs, from the Civil War days. But no, he would not talk about it. Like I told you, he saw the gruesome part of the war.
But they both, you did know both sets of grandparents as a child?
No, I only knew my father's grandparents. I didn't know my mother's. They had passed on mm-hmm. before I was born.
Oh. I see.
Anything I hear about them, I got from my older brother and from my mother and aunts and mother's cousins. I'd hear them talk about it.
Was there a Pennsylvania Dutch community that reformed in Iowa, or were they somewhat different than others?
I don't think there were very many other, although there were some other German names around Warren County there. Let's see, there was Ola. Oh, I can't think of some of those names right now. But at the time, I didn't think much about it. But now, since I've gotten older and studied more, I realize those were German names. Mm-hmm. So they were probably Pennsylvania Dutch, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think any one family came out all by itself. I think usually when they came in, wagon trains, mm-hmm. several families together. Mm-hmm. Because they came out, I think, in the 1840s or 50s. I have just recently become interested in genealogy and am starting to look into that. So I'm not quite sure when they came. But my grandfather, Oxenreiter, could not go to the army because he was lame. But he said he was kept busy at home because there weren't very many men left at home.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So he said, he said he was busy taking care of his own family and all the widows and orphans around there. Well, there would be things where women would need a man to do something or other, and he could do that, but he was lame. So he wasn't.
This farm that your mother and father then lived on with her parents, was that the farm that he actually had founded?
I don't know. I just don't know. I know that that they had had a farm and eventually sold the farm and moved to town because they had a small property in town. Now, of course, it wasn't too much, but I know my mother had inherited something. I guess that had been split between her and her brother. Yes, it had been, because she always said it was divided between them. And not that it was anything big by today's standards, but...
So she was one of two children then, and your father was one of
nine. The oldest of nine, yeah.
And when they married, was it clear that she was going to continue teaching?
She never said anything about that, but she always just said, I'm not sure whether... excuse me, that'll sound awful on there. I'm not sure. It seemed to me that, as they told it, that they needed a teacher very badly. And so they asked her to teach because, I say, she had a reputation for being a good teacher.
How old was she when she married?
Oh, let's see. I'd have to think.
Or do you know what year it was that they married?
She was probably about 21.
And she'd been teaching for a few years then?
Probably 2 or 3 years. Uh-huh. Because I think she started teaching at 18 or 19. Mm-hmm. And I'd have to figure all that back. But she was still still quite young.
Do you know if, as a young woman, because that would be like the late 19th, beginning of the early 20th century that she would have been teaching, if she in any way became involved in any of the women's rights groups or in the temperance groups that were so important during that period?
Well, oh, I know, she must have been 20, I'm thinking now, because my brother was born in 98, my oldest brother, and I think they'd been married almost a year when he was born, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, she never said anything about it. However, I have heard, they used to tell this story about my grandmother, that one time my grandfather Oxenrider had gone to this saloon in this little local town, and he came home drunk. Now, of course, then they had teams of horses. You know, you didn't have to worry about drunk driving because the team knew the way home. And my grandmother was, pretty angry about it. And the next day or the next day after that, the saloon burned down. And my mother always said she wouldn't have doubted if some of the women in the town burned it down, because now there was never any proof of that. But she said, my mother always said, you know, said that's the only time he ever got drunk. I guess my grandmother Oxenrider was kind of spirited, I don't know. Anyway, and in a day or two, the saloon burned down. Now, whether they burned it, I don't know. But there were some other women in the community that were upset about that. I think I'm not sure now, and I don't want to put in things that could have happened, but it seemed like a bunch of men went to that saloon, just, you know, and, yeah.
You were just told me the story about the saloon burning down. To your knowledge, was your grandmother involved in any sort of temperance group there in that town?
As far as I know, not on an organized basis. I don't remember my mother telling about it. But as I say, my grandmother was quite spirited, and I know she was against.
Do you recall any family stories about suffrage or women's rights, or for instance when the Chautauquas would come through, or women wearing bloomers in that period in the 1890s?
No, except I know my mother always approved of women's rights. See, of course, you know, when you live on a farm and have small children, it's not very easy to go into town and get into those things. However, I remember that the first opportunity that women could vote, my mother voted, and my father seemed to think it was all right. I mean, he wasn't like some of the men around there may have been. I know she, I was in school, but my sister wasn't, and she took my sister, little Tot, with her to vote, because I can remember that evening my father kept saying to my sister, "So you and Mama voted today." Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was a big thing. It was the first time she could vote, and she voted.
Mm-hmm.
But, no, I don't think she took any organized, mm-hmm. active part, because, like I say, you try being on a farm with small children, and it's just too difficult.
Now, in terms of they then left her family's farm when you're after you were born, you said?
Oh, no. They had, no, by the time I was born, my mother's grandparents had passed on, and no, my father went. My folks went to themselves soon after that. I think they only lived with my grandparents about 2 years.
And when they left that farm, she stopped teaching at that farm?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. She didn't teach anymore after that. No.
And they then went where after they left her farm?
Well, of course, they rented, so they moved around some. But now, I was born in Clark County. And, the reason we moved to Eddyville was because my oldest brother was about ready to go to high school, and my mother wanted to get near a high school so all of us children could have an education. And all but one of us graduated from that little high school, but it was a pretty good high school. It even had a normal training course, but a lot of the smaller, it was better than most high schools, except for the ones in the county seats. It was a good high school, and that was the reason that by then the folks bought, of course with a mortgage, bought this farm. Let's see, I think we were about 2 miles east of Eddyville.
Oh, so the children were able to walk into the high school then?
Yes, or they could ride a horse, or later on, by the time I was ready, by the time I got into high school, my brother, the brother just older than me was in high school most of that time, and we drove the car, or sometimes mm-hmm. the folks took us, it depended, but we were close enough that we could walk. Hmm. And that was the reason the folks moved there. At least that's what my mother always said, that she wanted to get close enough. Because of, I think that it was about that time that they had passed this law for free education in high school. Up until, it wasn't always free. But I think that if you... if you didn't live in the school district, then your school district had to pay to send you to pay your tuition at the nearest high school, or mm-hmm. there was something like that. Now, they didn't pay to take you there. You had to get there under your own power. Mm-hmm. And, of course, another reason that many of the youngsters didn't go to high school around that farming community where I lived, it was just too difficult. Maybe they lived 12 miles from the mm-hmm. nearest high school. And it was very difficult, particularly in the wintertime. They didn't have paved roads. And to get up so early and drive a horse 12 miles and put it in the feed yard and then walk another almost mile up to the school, I didn't have to do that. But, I mean, some youngsters did.
Tell me about your own childhood then. You were born where?
Well, I was born in Clark County, but I never remembered living there because... when I was 2 years old, the folks moved to Eddyville,
on
this farm near Eddyville, so that's the only place I remember.
So there's quite an age span then between
the children. Yes, there is. A big age span. My brother and I are 2.5 years apart, and we're the closest children. My sister and I are 4 years apart. Two brothers are 5 years apart. And I think the other two are 4 or 5 years apart. Yes, I think there is over, there's almost 18 years between my oldest brother and my, and the youngest, the sister.
Hmm.
So she did, we were stair steps. As a matter of fact, because it was 5 years between this, these two brothers, we always talked about the older, my mother always said the older boys. And then there was this, then it was 5 years, then there was this brother, 2.5 years older than I, that sometimes people would ask my father if it was, strangers would ask him if it was his second marriage, because they thought he had two sets of children. But it was all one mother, all one marriage.
So actually, if you were two, when they moved, in order to have your brother go to high school, there must have been something like an 11-year difference between you and the oldest brother.
Yes, yes. Let's see. Even more than that. At least 13. Let's see. I think he's about 14 years. Father's about 14 years.
Uh-huh. Well, tell me what you remember about the farm from your childhood.
Well, I don't know. We had, of course, it was a big farm, and after I got big enough, I worked, but not in the field, but we did have a big garden, and I had to help weed the garden and plant seeds, and one of my chores was washing the cream separator, but and because I was short, and you can see I am, I'm under 5 feet, I didn't have to start washing dishes as soon as many other girls my age. As a matter of fact, I never learned to hate to wash dishes because when I was going to school, I went, incidentally, all of us went to this graded school at Eddyville. I did not go to a one-room school. There was one. But now here was another thing. My parents were not wealthy, but they had to pay tuition for us children to go to that graded school. But my mother wanted us to have that good education. So they did. They I've wondered since. I mean, at the time, you know, as a child, you don't realize those things. But I think now that was some sacrifice for them because my mother said that was much better than sending us that one-room school. And so the three young, my brother and sister and I, they paid tuition on us for all 8 grades. Because, the other, well, I don't know about the one brother. I don't ever remember him saying that those younger brother or younger older brother went to grade the grammar school there, but he may have. But anyway, the parents did pay. Pay tuition to send us to this graded school.
That'd be true.